Well, good evening. It is great to be back with you this evening. I would invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This past week, I will say I have missed you guys a lot. Being in Franklin County was nice, and I was thankful for the brethren there, but I am thankful to be home. It's really nice to be home. It's always good to be able to pull down a driveway and know that there's people there that are excited that you're going to be home and excited to get to see you. There's nothing like that. It feels that same way when you walk in the doors here, that there are people that are excited you're back and they're happy to see you. And so it is great to be back with you. This past week, we looked at, in Franklin County, they were talking about evangelism. It's a congregation that here over about the last month and a half, they have baptized about seven people. And they have ranged anywhere from a young lady named Rose that is 15 years old to a gentleman that is in his 60s. So they have a pretty wide range of people there that they have been able to share the gospel with, and they've had several including some grandparents of members who have come back. And it was interesting to me. There's one gentleman there that his daughter was the 15-year-old that was baptized, and he had kind of fallen away, gotten out of service. And he said, you know, I was raised in the church and would have always considered myself to be a Christian. He said, and my daughter was talking to her grandparents and talking to some friends, and she said, she came to me, and she said, it's your fault. And he said, what's my fault? She said, we don't go to church. I don't know God, and that's on you. That one hit home a little bit with the story I've told you about an 18-year-old that was seven at the time. That one hit home hard. But it hit him right in the heart. And he said, I determined right then we were going to do things differently. We were going to be getting back in duty, and we were going to do things that we were supposed to do. Now, this young lady's now 15. She was 9 at the time. But she said, you've known better. You've known better my whole life. And I have no relationship at all with God. I don't know who he is. And we talk about him, and we'll pray before meals, but that's as far as that goes. And so in talking to Kendall and some of the men before this meeting, one of the things that kept coming up over and over again was this idea of evangelism. And he said, we've become very evangelistic, but he said, we need a little bit of a fire built. I think at times we all need that fire built. And this was one that I will tell you certainly built a fire under me. You know, I love to talk about God, and I have no problem talking to anybody about him. It's an exciting thing. It's the greatest thing that we could share with anybody. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see what we should look like. Beginning in verse 17, Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now I want you to think about those words for just a second. I know the New American Standard is a little bit different. I believe where that word implore is, it says beg. Yes? This is yes, this is no. Thank you. Yes, beg. We're to be beggars. Notice what we get to take to people. Do you see this word of reconciliation? It is to be reconciled back to God, meaning that we can be made in a right relationship with God. You've listened to people as well as I have my whole life that have said, well, you have no idea what I've done in my life, and God just couldn't forgive my sin. Well, I'm telling you, you want to talk about degrading God, and yet these same people out of the other side of their mouth would say, I fully anticipate to go to heaven. So God can't forgive your sin, but he can get you to heaven. Does that make sense to anybody? It doesn't make sense to me. How can we look around and say, I've done so many awful things that God couldn't forgive me of those things, but yet God's powerful enough to be able to get me to heaven? Well, either He's powerful enough to get you to heaven or He's not. We can't speak out of both sides of our mouth. But you and I get to take this word of reconciliation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we get to share this with everybody we come into contact with. It's exciting to be able to look at people and say to them, you know, there is something that would be so much better waiting when this life is over for you if you will obey Jesus, if you will do what He would have you to do. And if you notice here, and Kendall talked about this when he was here doing the meeting for us, but you think about being an ambassador, a representative of Jesus Christ. We have ambassadors all over the world, in every country, that represent the United States of America, and they are to uphold those laws and regulations that our government has put in place. And you think about even going down to just our state and local representatives that we have, we vote to put them into place because we expect them to uphold those things that are important to us. We expect them to make sure that we pray often for our government, right? That the moral standard of our nation and perhaps even just our local government and our local stance would be brought up. They're ambassadors. They're representatives for us. And they're supposed to go to bat for us. And unfortunately, at times they don't, do they? You see, we think about our responsibility as ambassadors for Christ, that we are His representative here in this life. And I've listened to people before who have said, man, I wish that, you know, I'm just what they would call an old soul. And I wish that I would have been born a couple of hundred years ago, or I wish I'd have been born in this generation or that generation because I really would have been able to thrive in that generation. Well, you know what? You weren't born then. You know why? Because God didn't put you here then. God put you here now. And the reason that God put you here now is to be an ambassador for Him, to be that representative for Him, to go out into the world and be able to share this word of reconciliation to help others come to Christ. Notice there in verse number 20, that last half, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So on behalf of Christ, as His representatives, as His ambassadors, we implore, we beg you, be right with God. Be reconciled to Him. Be brought back into that right relationship with Him. That suffering that Christ went through, look at verse number 21 here. That suffering that Christ went to, why did He do it? For He made Him, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Well, how does God demonstrate His righteousness? Go back to chapter 1 of the book of Romans and verse 16. That we see that the power of God, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's what we share. We become that righteousness of God because what we do, Jesus in John 14 and verse 15 said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what we demonstrate every day. We get to be those representatives every day for Him. How exciting is that? You know, Carter had a great prayer. One of those things that he prayed for was those who are fighting for our freedoms all over the world. And while that is an incredible thing and worthy of praying for, because we want them to be able to come home and be safe, we need to think about also those missionaries that are all over the world doing the same thing we're doing here. Spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Helping others to come to Christ. Prashant had a great day today. He was super excited. I got that text message from him early this morning. 5 o'clock, he sends a text message. I baptized 5 people today. You know how exciting that is? How incredible that is? He sends pictures and he's pumped. Look at what I've been able to do today. This guy invited me to come to an English-speaking school where he's teaching, and I get to teach them the gospel. He said, I baptized 5 people. 5 people responded to the invitation. Praise God. It's an incredible day. We have brothers and sisters in Christ now on the other side of the world because somebody took them the gospel, because they were that ambassador, that representative that they were supposed to be. Brethren, we get to be the same thing. We get to share the gospel with people to help them see and understand. And one of the incredible parts to me is the fact that we have no excuse for our circumstances or the situation we find ourselves in. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll see more of what that means. And there are a few places that we could go to look at this. But I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to go down to verse number 20. Paul here writing says, "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." He's just got done beginning in verse 10 down through verse number 18, giving them the full armor of God that they can stand against the wiles of the devil. Tells them to make sure that they're prayerful. And some of those things he asked them there in verse 19 to pray for is that I speak boldly, that utterance would be given to me, that I would have that opportunity to share with others this right here, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't make any difference that I'm in chains. I'm his representative in chains. He's going to write to the church at Philippi. We call Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon the prison epistles because that's where Paul is, in a Roman prison. Not telling you how bad he's got it, but exhorting the brethren to live every day to be an ambassador for God. Including, he says, I'm an ambassador in chains, physical chains. He'll write to the church at Philippi to tell them that it's become apparent to the whole palace guard that I'm a bondservant of Christ. Well, why would that matter to the whole palace guard? Because he's in prison. Because he's in a physical Roman prison. But they see that his chains, he's not bound by Roman chains. I'm bound by Christ. And I'm going to share with you the gospel. You know, you think about Paul being there in a Roman prison and the fact that they're going to at times be switching out guards depending on what circumstances he finds himself in. He didn't look at it as, oh man, I'm still in chains. He's waiting for that next person to come and get chained to him so that he can share with them the gospel. He enjoys it. It's what he loves. And every situation he finds himself in, all he's going to do is share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brethren, this is what our lives need to look like. We need to be sharing with them the same thing. Look with me at Philippians chapter 4. And we see, because of those chains that he has in chapter 1, what we get to see is how he finishes out this book, this farewell to them. Verse 21, he says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household." So yeah, I'm converting people in chains. In bondage, people are being converted to Christ. I'm telling you, these lessons hit hard. Because one of the things I think about is, yeah, we go out and we talk. And I talk to people I come into contact with and invite them to have a Bible study, invite them to services, invite them to do all kinds of things. But when you think about where he's at, boy, the poor little me's that we have at times, they're nothing compared to what he went through. And all he wanted to do was be able to share. He was begging people. The same thing he would write to the church at Corinth is the same thing that Paul would be living while in a Roman prison or anywhere else he found himself. Would you please just follow God? I would beg you. I've listened to people. I'm not going to beg. Yeah, beg. You do the opposite then of what Paul writes. You do the opposite of what God tells us to do. When we have that attitude I'm not going to beg them. Yeah, be beggars. Beg them to be right with God. And whether they are outside of Christ or even our brethren. We have brethren that from time to time they go astray. And I've watched growing up in the church at times as men have gone and they have begged and pleaded with people to get their life right, to get back to being right with God. It's powerful to be able to see that type of attitude that all they desire, I just want you to go to heaven. It's all I want. All I want in this life is for you to get to heaven. And whatever it takes, We need to be there to do it, to help them. We don't compromise truth. I'm not saying we're sinful. We act in any ungodly manner. But brethren, we got to be beggars to help them see and understand what they must do in order to be right with God. We've got to be those ambassadors, those representatives for Him. Look at me with me at Romans chapter 10, please. Same place that we were in our Bible class this morning. Romans chapter 10. Beginning in verse 14. This is where this hits home, just like I told you in Bible class. This hits home hard. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Do you understand the responsibility that preachers have? We don't take this lightly. What the message that we get to take, just like Paul wrote there in 2 Corinthians 5, that message of reconciliation, what we get to take to the world, we better take it seriously. We better not joke around with this. You know, I told Bible class, those in Bible class this morning, there's a preacher, he's a denominational preacher. But he asked me one day, he said, you know, you're busy, you do things. He said, when do you find time to write your lessons? And I said, I make time every day to sit down and study to be able to write my lessons. I said, what do? I put mine into ChatGPT. I just tell it this is the title or the topic or what I want to be able to speak on, and it just spits that out for me. You think you'd tell if I spoke from ChatGPT? If I'd put any time into it or not? I certainly hope so. Brother, I want you to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. We are ambassadors, representatives of Jesus Christ. We get to go all over the world. Do you see what Paul's writing here? If you don't go out, how are the people going to hear about Jesus? If you don't live it every single day, how is somebody going to hear? How are they going to hear? How are they going to believe in whom they have not heard of? How are they going to believe in Him unless somebody goes and tells them? We've got to go tell them. We've got to take it seriously. Not just in our studies, but in that application to go out and help them see it and understand it. And here's the thing. Yeah, he said preachers. You know, the thing is, every single one of us fit that criteria to go out and share the gospel with everybody else. You know, we can show them who Jesus is in the manner in which we live our lives. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because the way that we live is so vital, it is so important. Beginning in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? God made foolish the wisdom of this world. For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. I've told you this before, time and time again. You guys are crazy. You pay me to do this. Did you know that? It's insane. I get to study the Bible. I get to preach the Word of God. He calls it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. I think sometimes it's the foolishness at times of the messenger preached. But it also might be the foolishness of the church who pays that guy. What's the message we get to take? The word of reconciliation. We get to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and show people what they can do so that they can be in a right relationship with God to spend eternity with Him. You understand how incredible that is? God could have chosen any other way to be able to do this. You know, every morning we could get up and there could be clouds in the sky that spell out what we should do. That's not what He does. There's so many things. He could do it any way that He chose. And instead, what He chose was, I'm going to take people to go out and share this message. We have the Great Commission. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24. Go. We get to go into all the world. We get to preach this message. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We get to take people and help them see and understand what they must do in order to have salvation, to be right with God. That's what we get to do every day. We get to take this message. And how many people do look at us as if we are fools? There are those who do not believe in God and they think you are the most brainwashed person ever. All of this came about by accident. Can't you see that? No. Because I don't see it. It doesn't continue in the same manner in which we've been told. It doesn't happen that way. But you know, I can give you an explanation. I can tell you all about the one who said, "Let there be light." In the beginning, God. I can tell you all about Him. You can get to know Him. And I can tell you how to be right with Him so that you can live with Him for all eternity. Unfortunately, there are some who don't want to take that opportunity. But man, there are others that do. There are those that can't wait to hear about it. You know, in parts of our world today, there are people who would give anything for one of these. You know that? They line up just to get one of these. Now, I can't give you an exact count, but I have more than one of these in my home. And I'm sure that you probably do too. But there are people in this world who don't even have one of these, and we have some that are sitting on shelves collecting dust. Knock the dust off. Read it. Learn it. Live it. And help somebody else do the same. We're His representatives. We need to take that seriously. We get to be beggars on God's behalf. We get to represent Him. You know, the thing is, we look at places like Matthew chapter 11, beginning about verse 28 and following, at that invitation that Jesus gives. Come unto me, you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, you can take my yoke upon you. And it's light and it's easy. You'll have rest for your souls. All He desires is the absolute best for us so that we can live with Him for all eternity. What kind of ambassador are you? Do you beg people? Do you know His word well enough to go out and have those conversations? Can you tell somebody what they have to do to be saved? We can count them on our hand, right? We can walk them through those steps. We can show them faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. We can show them that they have to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, as He said in John 8:24, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. We can show them what it is to confess Him. We can show them what it is to repent of their sin, to submit to His will and be buried with Him in baptism, where His blood, as we see in Revelation 1 and verse 5, takes away their sin. They're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then just where we started, 2 Corinthians 5, you think about that rising to walk in newness of life. We're a new creature, new creation. We're not the same person any longer. And I don't care if you were raised in the church. People are going to see the difference in you. It may not be as drastic as others, but they're going to see a difference in you. You're going to have a fire in your belly and a fire in your bones to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. let's fan that fire. Let's not pour water on it. Let's do everything we can to help people know what they have to do in order to become a child of God so that they can go to heaven. Maybe this evening, as a child of God, you think about you for a second and the ambassador that you are called to be is not what your life represents. And there are things that you need to do to make that right and to change. And tonight, if we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.